Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
So from our last podcast, you raised, Stephanie, a good prompt or good question that you saw on social media.
Yeah. So one of the Facebook groups I'm in, a lady asked the question, do I really need a website or is, you know, Etsy good enough for Fine Art America? Are these things good enough or do I really need a website? And, you know, naturally, everybody's willing to give their opinion like we do here.
Yeah.
So I know I have my opinion, but I really want to know Julie and Rachel's view of, does an artist really need their own website?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
And this is my reasoning why. You know, you go back 20, 15 years, you had a portfolio that had printouts of your artwork.
Yeah, a little black folder.
Yeah, a little black folder. I mean, heck, I had one with a carrying case because I had 24 by 36 drawings and stuff that I was carrying around. And yeah, I mean, now the website is that portfolio electronically. Mm-hmm. So to me, that is your portfolio. You know, if you don't want to spend a lot of money on it, and you have the Adobe Suite, you get Behance or however it's pronounced with it. Mm-hmm. That's free. That's included. Just use that. That is a portfolio. That is what it's for, is your portfolio. So you can't do a lot with it. And they have templates you can choose from. But at a bare minimum, you've got to have a website.
And I think Google Suites even has a quick website you can do. And it doesn't have to be expensive. And,
right.
Even Wix. Mm-hmm.
Just read the terms and conditions on the Google thing, though, because some of their terms, Google owns your files and your emails and all that and their terms and conditions. So be careful with that one because you're dealing with your artwork.
But there are a lot of free options out
there. There's tons of free options out there.
Yeah.
I think you hit on a key point where you have all the content. So if you're on Etsy or Fine Art America or one of those guys using their blogging or website functions, they're actually pointing, they being the website provider, are actually pointing your audience to view other artists.
Correct.
By having your own website, you are getting a captive audience just to look at your website to encourage those email signups, encourage relationships, and, you know, have somebody go, hey, you can go to stephanieweaverartist.com and check out my latest artwork.
Exactly.
Instead of going to fineartamerica.com/blah, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But even if you are just using Fine Art America, that's fine too. Just as long as it's something that I get it. They still show other people's work, but you have somewhere to send them that's not your shop.
I think but Fine Art America is your shop.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's the only problem I have with that is because when they're scrolling through, just like on Etsy, other artists or other stuff.
Things you might relate to.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Where if you're doing your own site, that is your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if all it is 20 squares or 21 squares, if you're doing three columns that show your artwork and it has an about, that's the bare minimum that you need as an artist to show off your work.
Just one homepage.
It doesn't have to be fancy.
It doesn't.
There's a lady in our community, Positive Painter Community, Elizabeth, and you can go to lzbthcreative.com and check out her website.
It looks so good.
And she's evolved that website to really focus in on her Society 6 and her portfolio specifically for Society 6. And that's her focus for this year. So you know, her, the website purpose is to showcase her art, mm-hmm. and that leads them to shop.
Right. Exactly. And that's a really good point.
Really well done. And that's, I know Julie and I have talked a lot about this, and Rachel builds websites too. And it's all comes down to what's your purpose for mm-hmm. your website. If you're wanting to license, then it's got to be a portfolio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're wanting to have classes, then, you know, your website's got to be about classes.
But it's got to have one solid purpose. And what is that? It can have other things on it, but you need to know what the main purpose. What do you want somebody to do when they land on your webpage?
Right. And for Elizabeth, like you were saying, it's to, you know, send them to her Society 6, but also, highlight and show mm-hmm. her artwork.
Yeah.
Which I think it looks really good right now.
She's been working on it really pretty hard. I know we've gone through, about 3 or 4 critiques with
mm-hmm.
her.
Mm-hmm. And it looks amazing
now. I love this last one. She's got a flip book.
Yeah, so it looks really good.
She's heard critiques from her family and friends that they want to see all the products that she offers.
Right.
So she created this fabulous little flip book. And I'm like,
yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing when you own a website, that is yours.
You can play with it.
You can play with it and... like you don't have Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or anybody else telling you what you can and cannot put on mm-hmm. your website.
Right.
So if you want to have someone flipping you off with a bird, you can put that on your website. Whereas if it's on TikTok, they're going to take it down or whatever.
Well, that is an excellent point. Because I think, Julie, you brought this up when we were on our break about, I'll just send on my Instagram to show them my portfolio. Mm-hmm. You can lose your Instagram account overnight.
Right.
You have no idea because you don't control it.
Or it could be locked.
Yes. For no some reason.
Or someone spammed it or.
Right.
You have a lot of.
There's a lot of risk out there.
A lot of variables.
Variables. That's a better way to put it.
And what if you do, you know, abstract nudes or, or, you know, naked people or whatever. I don't know.
I love the way you say that.
Naked. But what if that's your artwork? What if you do, you know, female bodies or male bodies
or right.
Even if it's an abstract, you know, Facebook can come in and go, no, this violates our policy and they take your account down. Mm. Well,
then what are you going to do?
Right. Then you're stuck. So if you have your own website, that's yours and you say what goes on it and it's yours.
Yeah.
I like this one analogy where you're building your castle on rented land. Mm-hmm. So if you're solely using like Facebook shop or Instagram shop, you're building your castle on rented land. They could take it back anytime they want.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And to your point, Julie, you got to be careful about the terms and conditions because I know like if you want to sell your, you start doing merchandising on Amazon, as soon as you upload an image, it becomes theirs.
Right. And that's what you got to watch out with a lot of these sites.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Even with Shopify or anything.
Yeah.
Always read terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Isn't that terrible that you got to actually read that stuff?
Well, and that's why, like, I mean, this may be going in a squirrel moment too, but that's why I get so frustrated with Google. I mean, because their terms and conditions, you put stuff in there on Google Sheets or Google Photos and all this, and they have a phrase in there that leads you to believe that they own it. Mm. And so you've got to be careful with that where, you know, Microsoft or your website or whatever, you own it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's can be end-to-end encrypted and all these different things that you can secure and know that, you know, with so much stuff being stolen from artists, it's just an extra little step to take just to make sure that you're keeping your ownership.
And that's copyright. The other thing. Digitally, the only thing you own is the URL. Of your whatever, your artwork or yourself.
Your address,
And the emails that you collect.
Yeah.
So that's your only value online. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, then, you know, if you do something like the simple Behance with Adobe, read their terms and conditions and make sure what they say so that you're knowing that you're keeping that ownership where, again, it's better just to get your own address. But if you don't want to go to that extent yet, there are solutions out there that protect you enough to get your portfolio available.
here I am, I'm talking for my studio. I don't have a website yet. It's just an Etsy account.
Yeah. But so. But you haven't completely decided what you want to do yet either.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I got to figure all that out too.
That's smart. You're not.
Yes. You're not rushing into it.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to figure out what you want and then build it around what you want.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know, wasting time by throwing.
And I do have something for, you know, I do have a website for my podcast. So if somebody asks, I can say, hey, go here.
Right.
Boom. And you have everything you need to know about, you know,
from listening to it to reading about it. To all the recommendations and recipes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but and it's a great way to collect your email, because we had talked about, email marketing. And that's a great way to reach.
Yeah.
You know, your people who want to buy your stuff.
Right.
And her podcast is bubblybibbly.com.
Thank you. If you love reading.
Yeah. And
joined.
And the libations and that go with them.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
Reading and cocktails.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just something that you should count as part of the business side of being an artist is to have your website.
Yeah.
And I know one of the things that I hear a lot is, well, I'm not technically savvy. You don't have to be technically savvy anymore. All you have to do is drag and drop.
Yeah.
And there are so many YouTube videos out there.
Yeah.
Even like if you get with whatever hosting provider or whatever you do.
Squarespace or.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Squarespace is who I'd recommend if you're you want your own URL and you want it simple and really not a lot of customization. Mm-hmm. Then just start out with something like that.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be. And if you're older, get your kids to do it or your grandkids to do it. If you're younger, then, you know, get a niece or a nephew or someone else that's in class with you that knows how to do it and let them help you. Buy them pizza.
Yeah. Tell them this will build up your resume.
Right. Exactly. Just like we get told all the time. Well, it'll be for your portfolio.
It'll be great exposure.
Free exposure. Yes.
We just heard that last week too.
Did you really?
Yes. It'd be such good exposure for you.
Yeah.
Really? Because it's not going to pay my bills.
Oh, that's right. I remember that conversation. Yeah, this is a photographer that gets like, I don't know, $5,000 just for showing up. But
he's like, and someone didn't want to pay him. And they were like, oh, it'd be great exposure for you. And he's like, no.
Yep.
Exposure doesn't pay the bills.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think, you don't have to. And in fact, if you go to Bluehost or GoDaddy and you buy your URL and they have website, you can just say, hey, I want this theme and put it together. And it's like $50 or $75 and they'll upload it for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's tons of inexpensive, simple options out there to start.
We say inexpensive, but like really inexpensive.
Expensive, right.
Less than.
Yeah.
It can be less than $1,000.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you can get a really nice looking website
and set it up in a day or two and you're good to go.
I mean, back in the day when I first got started, I was on Blogger?
Yeah.
It was free.
Right?
Free.
Oh gosh, I remember Blogger was free. That's right. I forgot all about Blogger.
Yeah.
But there's so many other options out there right now. And, you know, not to say Squarespace, but in Wix and GoDaddy. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily recommend GoDaddy, but they have a lot of tools.
Sorry, I wouldn't either.
No, I would, call me first, but GoDaddy has a lot of people who are not tech savvy. They have a lot of tools that you can pay for and then they can set it up. But Wix is the same way. You get a theme and you just plug your pictures in.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you just do like Bluehost with a WordPress site, those are so drag and drop nowadays too with new interface that you really don't have to be that tech savvy. Tech savvy comes into play nowadays when you want to do something custom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Something unique that not everybody has on their site.
Oh, I know. And if you buy a theme and you upload it, it almost does itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just don't change the theme at all. You don't need to be tech savvy.
No.
Right? Just live with where it's set up, change the information, the data, and you're ready to go.
Right. It wouldn't even take you a day to set up something.
No, it takes you longer to put the images together than it does to set up the site.
It really does.
And then to figure out what you're going to say about them, that takes way longer than it actually does to set up the site.
But I would recommend for an artist to definitely make sure that their work is watermarked in some manner.
Or 72 DPI, low resolution.
Right click enabled. Mm-hmm. I mean, right click
disabled. Yeah. And that's usually just on a quick back end, and you can find that real easy. But make sure your stuff's watermarked. And
so we are all in agreement. You need a website.
Yes. So back to that question. You need a website. You need some way to show your portfolio digitally. Because also remember, too, if you're in contact with somebody and they tell you to email where they can see your images, attachments aren't necessarily going to go through.
Right.
So you really need to make sure that you have some URL that you can put in that email that they can easily click on and see your portfolio versus attachments.
Now, what do you think about, let me ask you this, as far as websites, would you put it in your name? Like you have yours, StephanieWeaverArtist.com, which is a really great website.
Thank you. Kajabi is
Julium Studios, but that's you to me.
Yeah.
And
that's a story. You'll have to go back and listen to that podcast. Yeah.
But do you recommend if the artist is known by their name to use the name.com, or would you recommend something like Art for Paws, or would you, you know, like, you know, BB Studios or In the Studio? Or I mean, do you recommend kind of something kitschy or the name, or does it matter? Do you think?
Well, it needs to identify with their brand. Mm-hmm. So I think that needs to kind of be, if they don't have a brand put together yet and they don't know what they're going by, then do their name. If their name is able to be easily done. If you have a name that's difficult to spell like McCullough, that no one spells correctly, or that's, you know, interlaced with other individuals that are famous, then
BradPitt.com.
Then you need to consider, you know, that's why I go by Julium Studios, is because that's kind of what I was forced in going into.
Right. Because you couldn't use your name.
I sign all my artwork Jules. And so now I have to associate both names together as a brand. And you kind of need to think about that a little bit before you get your URL. But if you don't have a brand identity, then I think you go by your name if it's doable.
So we talk a lot about this in episode number 22 that was released on 12/15. Julia McCullough's name and the troubles with it. How do you protect your family without while promoting your business? So yeah, check out that podcast because it's very entertaining.
Oh my gosh, you don't know
the system, history of her name.
Yes, it is worthwhile to Google. Your name.
Yeah.
You definitely need
and to. And to see, you know, someone, I mean, if you have like Jane Smith.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously you're not going to go by janesmith.com.
Yeah, especially if there's like a gazillion of them. Or
that's
whatever.
Why I had to go with Stephanie Weaver Artist, because apparently there's a lot of Stephanie Weavers. And I also have Art for Paws, and that directs them to a particular landing page on my website that's nothing but pet portraits. They can go to positivepainter.com. That brings them to the main page. They can go to Art Pricing Calculator, and that takes them to the art pricing, but it's all leading them back to my site. So it just kind of goes back to, you know, a little bit of branding. What are you trying to sell?
Right.
Right. And can they spell your name?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like, I may have to find something different as well, too.
Yeah.
Right. People don't even spell Rachel right. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Alexa likes to say Harkinko.
Oh, yeah. So does Siri. Harkinko.
It was probably a hard C to begin with, but it's changed to a soft C. So it's Harshenko. But yeah, no one says it right. No one spells it right.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But get a portfolio. You've got to have one if you want to be a monetized artist, I think.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Monetized artist.
Yeah. I think it's worthwhile anyway, period.
Yes.
And then you can still just put your new work up there. I mean, it doesn't, you know, like I was talking about a couple of podcasts ago about someone who didn't even want to sell their art. But they could still have a website, you know, just for contact information and to put up their new work. I mean, I don't know. I think you should always have a website, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let us know if you have any questions about websites or anything specific about how to put something together, because we'll be happy to answer those questions in another podcast.
Yay! Yep.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistssoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.